Our first reading is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 9 to 14. The Lord says this, "If you do away with the yoke, the clenched fish, the wicked word, if you give your bread to the hungry and relief to the oppressed, your light will rise in the darkness, and your shadows become like noon. The Lord will always guide you, giving you relief in desert places. He will give strength to your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never run dry. You will rebuild the ancient ruins, build up on the old foundations. You will be called breach mender, restorer of ruined houses. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath and doing business on the holy day, if you call the Sabbath delightful, and the day sacred to the Lord honorable, if you honor it by abstaining from travel, from doing business, and from gossip, then you shall find happiness in the Lord, and I will lead you triumphant over the heights of the land. I will feed you on the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And our gospel reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. Jesus noticed a tax collector, Levi by name, sitting by the customs house, and said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he got up and followed him. In his honor, Levi held a great reception in his house, and with them at table was a large gathering of tax collectors and others. The Pharisees and their scribes complained to his disciples and said, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus said to them in reply, "It is not those who are well who need the doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the virtuous, but sinners to repentance." Our reflection for this Saturday after Ash Wednesday. Our modern societies are becoming more multicultural, multiracial, and multireligious. We are increasingly invited or challenged, depending on how you see these things, to live with differences. Now, different cuisines from different cultures can be a delight to sample. But what about different religions and the different moral values they espouse? What about the political implications of groups that gradually become powerful and seek to change long-established patterns of power structures in society? How do we react to these changes and impending changes? The great Semitic religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all contain a strong element of the conflict against evil. We all believe in a just and merciful God who is about eradicating sin and evil from our society. The tricky thing, of course, is identifying where that evil lies. It can be tempting and easy to identify it in the other rather than in myself. In some ways, it can be very convenient to have the other as the enemy. We can easily then play the blame game. They are the outsiders, we are the insiders. They need to change, we don't. But our first reading from Isaiah urges the reverse. The ones who need to change first are you, the you of Isaiah's audience. For us readers, that's ourselves. We can also see this reversal in the gospel story. For the Pharisees and scribes in the story, the tax collectors in their kind were definitely the outsiders. They worked for the Roman system. They were outsiders, they were known as sinners, and therefore unclean. To associate with them could bring contamination on the Pharisees, and it was, after all, their duty to keep themselves holy before God. Now, there's a genuine side to this, of course, but it is open to the abuse I just spoke about. The tax collectors and their kind make a perfect enemy, the ones who must bear the burden of guilt. So, rather than focus on their needs, one is tempted to focus on their alleged deeds. But Jesus does the reverse. He sees their need and goes to meet it. Of course, they are in a sense outsiders. He himself says, "I have not come to call the virtuous, but sinners to repentance," and no doubt gestured expansively to his host Levi and his mates. And they don't seem to reject it. But Jesus does not set himself over against them as the ones to blame for society's ills. Rather, he goes to them in order to convert them from outsiders to insiders. And an important point of the gospel is, of course, that we are all, in a way, outsiders. The Pharisees, the scribes, ourselves, are all sinners in need of Jesus' healing company. Now, if we try to act as Jesus does in the gospel and enter the company of those we may despise or be suspicious of, things may not go as we hope or plan. We may, like Jesus, be rebuffed for a variety of reasons. Does one give up? In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says that when someone refuses the approaches of the community, ultimately he or she is to be treated as a tax collector or a pagan. Now, we might think that this means they are effectively excommunicated, but I don't think so. After all, what does Jesus do to tax collectors like Levi in the gospel? He keeps seeking the company and preaching to them. He doesn't give up. And at the end of the gospel, he instructs his disciples to make disciples of all pagans. All are therefore potential members of the household of God, even those who continually reject the approaches of the community. And we are not in a position to make final judgments about anyone, no matter how difficult or different they may be. After all, if we do that, how can we then blame them for doing the same to us?